Tourism, of course, is always a big topic in Cairns, but none more so than in recent weeks and in weeks coming up, given the concern over JobKeeper ending at the end of this month. A man who I was very keen to talk to, he has years and decades of experience in tourism industry, both locally and across Australia. His name is Rob Jason. Now, many of you may remember that Rob was the CEO of Tourism Tropical North Queensland, TTNQ. He's also currently on the board of lots of organisations, most prominently perhaps Ports North and Couch. He's also chair of the Reef Restoration Foundation. So he works right across the community and the corporate sector. Rob, first of all, welcome to the King Review.
Thank you, Gavin. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you in studio. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, now that the dust has settled a little bit, on some recent announcements we had. The feds, of course, last week announced a tourism package, namely these 800,000 discounted flights to 13 or so destinations. Before that, we also had the Queensland government announce these $200 travel vouchers for Cairns. Will these schemes work?
I think, Gavin, the issue for me is that stimulate the market right now. We've got some interesting things happening with JobKeeper finishing. Industry needs confidence. We need to actually stimulate the market. I think it's a bit of a masterstroke in both counts. And also it showed some ballsy sort of approach by government, not normally seen, because obviously government like to spread opportunities out like confetti, so everyone gets a prize. But on this occasion, with the 13 nominated destinations from the feds and the they needed to help aviation. They needed to support various destinations. At least they acknowledge that we are one of those destinations that really need help. With no international visitors coming for the next 2 or 3 years, that's 800,000 visitors out. That's about 1 million visitor nights, or over 10 million visitor nights, and enormous amount of expenditure, possibly $2.5 billion for not coming through. So the choice of the 13 destinations, obviously to help each of those economies and stimulate aviation back into particularly a place like Cairns. All our holiday visitation, up to 80% of our holiday visitation come by air. And the two major markets are Sydney and Melbourne. So we're featured in those markets. And I think apart from the rhetoric from the Sydney and the Melbourne media, your colleagues in the Sydney and Melbourne media that didn't like the exclusion of Sydney and Melbourne, you've got to think about it as what we're targeting is holiday makers, not business people and not friends and relatives in real terms. It's holiday makers who will spend between 7 and 10 nights in the destination.
Well, I had to have a chuckle. You mentioned there that some people in Sydney and Melbourne, our biggest capital cities, were really upset about this announcement by the feds that they were left out of those. And I thought, isn't this a turn up for the books? Where it's normally regional destinations, regional Australia, complaining, rightfully so, about the capitals always get the government largesse, and so for the one of the first times the capitals missed out, so they had a whinge. I thought that was quite funny.
Totally agree with you, and I think I had a chuckle as well, because the shoe's on the other foot. Normally, of course, we have a bit of a whinge at times, mostly. Yeah, of course, we're in the right, but obviously the issue is that we're a small destination in the sense of the numbers of resident population. We only have 170,000 people in comparison to those cities. So those cities can regroup and reorganise.
They're self-sustaining to some degree. I look at we interviewed Joel Fitzgibbon, the member for Hunter, my old hometown, last week, and he said the Hunter is going gangbusters. Yeah. Because why? Because it's a two-hour drive from Sydney.
And that's
millions of people in the catchment.
Well, in my days as Director of Marketing for Tourism New South Wales, I know that 74% of New South Wales residents travel within New South Wales. Mm. That's the market of New South Wales. Mm. Now, obviously, they've got a bigger market than us, but because of our remoteness, the fact that we are the largest regional city, and then the most remote regional city in Australia, I discount Darwin. They're a capital city because of the Northern Territory. So we've actually kicked a lot of goals and been able to achieve what we've achieved because of the individual tenacity of so many Cairnsites, the small business operators that have driven this community, this destination for so long.
For so long. There was some criticism about, and a lot of it came from the Queensland government, as I pointed out on the show in recent weeks, some criticism of the federal government plan, that there was no extension, if you like, in some way or another, of JobKeeper. The Feds had, I guess they're really focused on, they want businesses to sooner rather than later stand on their own feet. So that's why they're trying to drive tourists, as the Prime Minister said. We want tourists in these destinations. Do you have any thoughts on that? Should the Feds have gone one step further and extended some of that sort of, it was a wage subsidy effectively?
Yeah, it would have been a very difficult decision. But again, governments are risk averse. Mm. They worry about providing, you know, one solution for one area and not having either a sector sort of solution. That's why they've come up with helping the aviation and key destinations, I'm sure. But for mine, I speak to a lot of people in Sydney and Melbourne, and some of those people are finding it very difficult to find staff because of JobKeeper. And I know a lot of people here are going to be adversely affected, and that really hurts. Mm. But I do believe, with regards to the future and the potential of growth through the domestic market over particularly the next 5 to 6 months, our peak season, hopefully we can actually retain people and then see what happens beyond then with potential international flights later next year or whatever, but rebuild. We're in rebuilding mode and we've got to think about that. But I'm very positive about this destination. I chose to live here after I finished my professional duties because I have a lot of confidence in the destination. We've just got to work hard at it, and we've always worked harder because we're further away from those who we need to talk to sometimes, and they don't listen.
We need that grit and that gutsiness. Well, let's talk about the future then, and some big news. Alan Joyce, both you and I were at the Advanced Cairns Ball, endured some long speeches, can we just say, listeners? But there was some good news, and Alan Joyce, the boss of Qantas, was there. He dropped some good news, which has been followed up in the media this week. You were around, of course, the head of TTNQ when Japan stopped into Cairns, but some good news on the horizon for Japan and Cairns.
Yes, some very good news. Yes, I remember hosting a forum with Jeff Dixon and Alan Joyce and Bruce Buchanan, who was with Jetstar at that time, after they announced the fact that the double dailies from Narita would finish. And Jeff Dixon did apologise. In fact, we had to make the decision to do that. Overnight, we lost 150,000 Japanese visitors. And then we had to introduce a new form of travel, low-cost travel. Mm. So we worked very hard as an industry. Not many people were all that happy, but we had to work. It was the alternative. And again, it showed the resilience of the industry, taking and making some changes. Not necessarily happy about it, but making changes. The future, I'm really pleased that Japan has been chosen as one of those destinations to look to the future again. We get up before COVID, we were up to about 120,000-130,000 pax coming from Japan. But one of the things that I'm not seeing much about is that we are to the Japanese market, or were to the Japanese market, a very strong mono destination. That means that the Japanese market was looking to come and spending most of the overseas holiday here in the region and not actually travelling to 5 or 6 different destinations. Mm-hmm. So I think that really bodes well for us in the future with respects to reopening the gateway to the Japanese market.
Well, it's certainly something to look forward to, and no doubt the tourism industry will be all over that to help make that a success when they expect. I think it's twice weekly flights Qantas is looking at?
I think the announcement at the moment, the potential of possibly 3 weekly or two weekly, but I think that's a great start. Let's start and build the market, because obviously we don't know what's at the other side by, you know, people's own, I suppose, fear to travel, emotions of travelling, and obviously how we can manage our border into the future. We've got a lot of uncertainties there, but we've got to stay positive and look towards the future where we will have open borders and develop these markets again.
Mm. And, of course, a lot depends on that vaccine rollout. Well, there's so much we could talk about, Rob, and would love to get you in on a semi-regular basis, because you've got such great helicopter view across tourism and the general economy. Rob Jason, thanks for being on The King Review.
Gav, thank you very much. And it's off the record.